As we begin our series this morning on All In, growing up, I never got to play poker a whole lot, and if you know me pretty well, you know I hadn't been to too many casinos. In fact, I've never been in one. But I've always loved gambling. I've always enjoyed that. In fact, if you're going to be anything in life, you have to enjoy gambling. That's just part of life. If you don't enjoy gambling, then life is not going to produce or give you a whole lot of any good. Somebody said, well, I don't gamble. Well, do you have a 401k? In fact, most of the people that are in entertainment and different type of businesses, they know you love gambling, because if you go into just about any little store, you're going to see a machine that sits there. It's called the claw. And for $1, you can take a chance and try to grab that ball. You know how many dollars goes into that thing every single day? Lots of quarters and lots of dollars. Kids come by, I can do that. You may look at them and say, you just throwing your money away. I can get it. I can make that thing. Now, what they don't tell you is, when you do research, is that the claw is engineered to where they're not required by law to make that thing actually have strength in the claw, but one out of every 20 times. By law, it has to have strength in the claw. So that means 19 times you'll grab at something, and when you grab at it, it will... You ever notice that? You start to pick it up and it's just not strong enough, and it slips through? Well, that's because the machine is designed to do that. That way, they don't have to give away a toy every single time you try. And so, I want us to, for the next several weeks, we're going to deal with some people who really put it all on the line. And when you do that, the only problem is that when you do, whatever flaw you have is going to show. In fact, that's what makes watching the World Series of Poker or whatever on TV so exciting. It's not the, if it was just the fact that they passed the cards out and the guys who got the best hand won every time, that would be pretty dull, wouldn't it? But what makes it so cool is that they learn to read each other. They learn to find the weaknesses. In fact, some of them will try their best to hide them by now. They'll wear caps and glasses where you can't see their eyes, and they just sit there all stoic. But what they're doing is they're trying not to give away any weakness that they have, because if they get an ace, their eyebrow may go up or something. And they're like, I don't want anybody to be able to see. One guy even wears glasses that has eyeballs in it, so that when you look, it looks like eyeballs. I'm thinking, that has to be freaky to look across the table and see that all day. But God is looking for people who will go all in. That sounds strange, but that's what God is looking for. In this room today, He's looking for people who will say, you know what? I'll risk it all. I will put everything I got in. In fact, when you watch the poker tournaments and things on TV, that's the most exciting part. Most exciting part is when both of them are getting down on their chips, or they're both getting near the end, and one person thinks, I've got it. And he says, I'm all in. He pushes everything in. And he expects the other person to either fold. He either is going to fold, or he's going to meet him. So, let me see if I can show it to you. Did you get me something? I tell you what, I'm gonna put a challenge to you. How many people believe I can balance these nails? One on top. I mean, I'll hold one of them and I'll balance all of the others. If you don't believe I can do it, stand up right now. If you don't believe I can do it, go ahead. Just I mean, you look, Pastor, I like you and all, but you can't do that. All right, y'all see them all, right? Okay. Now, anybody that believes I can do it, stand up. We all want to see you. There we go. We got one, two. Hey, we got a few. All right. You guys sit down. Well, we'll get back to that. But keep that in mind. I got to think about that a little while. That's going to be a great closer for the sermon, right? So if I say that I'm all in, we need to look at the different people that's going to be at our table. The different people that sat at this challenge that God gave. God gave a challenge and said, you know what? I want you to go to Canaan. In fact, he tells a man by the name of Abraham, I am going to give you a land that's flowing with milk and honey. I am going to give you a land. I am going to produce a seed in you. I am going to create a nation out of you. He promises him so many things. Balancing nails would seem small compared to what he tells a 75-year-old man, that I am going to, through you, I am going to do something incredible. Are you in? And we know the story of Abraham. Abraham says, I'm all in. I'm giving everything I got. I'm leaving my family. I'm leaving everything. And I am going to pursue this thing that God says I'm going to give you. Now, go in your Bibles. And let's kind of walk through one of the players in this journey. Some people don't win at poker. Some people don't win at life. Some people have a hard time working with God. And it's because they have a bad concept of what it is to be all in. They try. It's not even that they're bad people. But it's that when they understand all in, they have a difficulty in being able to get their hands around that, their mind around it. There's a flaw in them, and the glasses can't cover it, and they can't trench coat up enough to keep people from seeing it. When they're at the table, they're a mark. The first person that enters this table, and if I had someone dressed up this morning, I'd have them sit, and maybe by the end of it, we'll have everybody at the table. But the first one is a man by the name of Lot. Lot, if you go with me in your Bibles to Genesis, the 12th chapter, and verses 4 and 5, we'll see that he enters into this journey. He is the nephew of Abraham. He is Abraham's nephew. And here's what it says. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Now, that's incredible. We're not talking about somebody who's 30 years old saying, okay, I got a whole life to figure this thing out. God says, I'm going to do this, Abraham, and I know that you probably don't have but about maybe 40, 50 good years left in you. I know that you're getting old already. And yet something about Lot says, I want to go with you. Uncle, I believe in what you're doing. I believe in what's happening and what's taking place in your life. And as they're journeying along, things go really well. As they're journeying along, everything seems to be working out wonderfully. Because Lot is connected with Abraham, and the blessings of Abraham are rubbing over onto Lot. In fact, it becomes so bad that here's what happens. One day, the herdsman of Lot, whose cattle are just outnumbering and just outgrowing anything, and then there's Abraham, whose cattle is outgrowing and outnumbering. They get to be such a large group traveling that their herdsmen get to fussing because they don't have enough grass to eat. There's not enough grass for all the cattle. They are blessed. Look at the person beside you and say, they are blessed. It's not a matter of God not. So far, being all in looks good. Looks good. But here's where the difference comes. Lot's flaw is fixing to start to show. Lot has one flaw in his game. If he was sitting at a poker table, if he was carrying it through, and bring me a stool where I can sit down and kind of get the... If he was sitting at a poker table, Here is his problem. Lot's eyes light up every time he sees something. Ever meet people like that? I mean, they're doing great. They could be in church, going along well, and then all of a sudden, they see a camper. And it's like, oh, I've always wanted a camper, and God's been blessing me, and God's been, and I believe God wants me to have that camper. Well, it's not the camper. But it's the fact that when they got the camper, now you can't leave the thing sitting in the yard. We need to take weekends, and we need to go away at least once a month to now I'm quitting church to involve myself with a camper, which was a blessing from God to begin with. My eyes always seem to get me. I mean, I'm doing great in church, Brother Lot, and then all of a sudden I started dating this one little girl, and now I even did a good thing. I even brought her to church, but now during church she's always talking to me and bothering me, and now I don't listen very much. We just sit there and pass notes most of the time, and my eyes tend to always get me in trouble. In fact, we are told that in the Bible one of the sins that comes upon man is lust of the eyes. Never satisfied or always trying to judge what I'm going to do next by what I can what. We have a saying today that goes like this: if I can't see it, I don't. That's what Lot would say at the table. Lot would not have been a good bluffer. He would not have been somebody that could have had a bad hand and acted like he's got. If Lot had a good hand, he'd be, I'm all in. But if Lot had a bad hand, he'd be go like, I fold. And we see this because Abraham and him have a decision to make. We've got all this cattle. We can't stay connected. It's getting too. And here's Abraham's heart. Abraham carries him to a mountaintop and he says, Lot, come with me. And he says, look at everything here. There's mountain area, there's plains, there's all of this. He said, you pick whichever one you want. And if you pick the valleys and the good thick grass, then I'll take the mountains. And if you choose the mountains, then I'll take the valleys. Now, it's not hard to figure out most of the grass was where? In the valley. It's where everybody was. It's where all the, I mean, it would be common sense. It seemed like that's a natural thing. Pick the valley. In fact, that's what Lot does. He looks at it and he's like, you sure, Uncle? Lot, you choose whichever one you want, and I'll take the other. Why? Because Lot, everything he's doing is by what he can see. Everything he's doing is by what he can see. If I can't see it, I can't believe it. Even though God's blessing, I'm still looking for something I can see. And Lot looks at Abraham that day and he says, I'll take the valley. Now, down in the valley is also towns and cities. There's a city called Sodom and a city called Gomorrah. And Lot didn't take the time to really kind of go inspect and actually find out what type of cities they were. And he didn't take time to see what kind of people they were. He just saw all the good and he saw all the grass and he saw that, look, I don't want to live up in these mountains. I don't want to have to deal with all these rocky areas. And he said, I'm going to take the best looking spot. Anybody ever done that? You ever picked something that looked good at the time? You ever dated somebody that at the time they looked like they were going to be a good person? They acted like they did everything just the way they were supposed to. They carried themselves. You ever bought something and at the time you thought, this is a great buy? You ever bought a car? I'll never forget my dad going with me and the very first car I ever bought. I drove old clunkers and you had to know I lime green Monte Carlo was the first car I ever got. Just puke green, 1971, had like a couch in the front. It was the chair. It wasn't really seats. It was just a giant couch they had planted right there. And man, you'd ride and that thing would just, you and the car and everything. And I thought, this piece of junk. I moved up to a Chevy Impala. It's not cool when you're 18 years old to drive in a four-door blue Chevy Impala. And I drove all types of things. My final car was an Olds Calais, a 1971 Olds Calais. I liked that car. In fact, I really liked it. It was kind of cool. It was long and two-door. But I done had it in my mind that when I finally get a job and I grow up, I'm getting me a car. And I remember me and my dad, he said, "Son, I'll go with you." And we went to the Oldsmobile place because I had an Oldsmobile and I wanted to see what they had. The very first car I saw was a two-door, cool-looking Olds Calais. Brand new, 14 miles on it. Man, that salesman started talking. He didn't have to say, I don't remember half of what he said. I just saw it. It was just so cool looking. Easy payments, like that sound. My dad said, "Son, let's go look at other car lots. Let's see what else." No, I don't need to see any more. Nothing's going to look better than this. You ever made deals like that? Some of y'all got married like that. No sense in dating around. It's my first person I've ever dated. That's the best. I would have been wise to have gone to a different car lot. To have looked around. To have made one group bid against the other group. Now looking back, I know a lot more. But that day I drove off that lot with that old Calais. My whole family, Trent, and everybody piled up in there. I didn't realize we all couldn't fit in that car. But that was good to me because I just figured we'll never have to use my car to go anywhere. It was a good car. But it didn't take long once that, back in those days, I don't know if they still do it, but them payment books arrived in the mail. And when that payment book arrived in the mail, that sucker was that thick. And for the next 5 years, I tore out a sheet every month and stuck my money in there. And every time I did it, that car looked uglier and uglier, and it had more flaws. Lot was a lot like that. We all have been at the table and we thought, that's it. I don't need to look anymore. I don't need to ask questions. I don't need to find out what's going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't need to know anything. I know this is it. People lose a lot when they do that. Some of you have been hurt badly in relationships because of those kind of decisions. Some of you have taken jobs and thought, well, they're willing to give me 5 more cents an hour. But didn't take the time to realize you'd have to start working on Sundays and you would lose a lot of yourself. We've all made decisions like Lot. We want good things. I don't want you to think Lot is a bad person. In fact, I'll show you scriptures in a little bit that Lot's not a bad person. Lot's not a sinner. Lot's not a... He just has a problem. And the problem is, when I see something that looks good to me, I have a hard time walking away from it. When I see something that I think, I deserve that. I need that. That's it. He doesn't take the time to compare it. He didn't take the time to ask Abraham, "Abraham, why are you doing this? Why are you? Abraham would have told him, "Look, if I take the mountains, God will bless me. And if I take the valleys, God will bless me. My decision is not based on what the grass looks like. My decision is based off of whether I got God or not." Lot chose the valley. We know some of the story. He gets hooked up into Sodom and Gomorrah. On one occasion, Sodom and Gomorrah gets captured. He goes into imprisonment by the kings. Abraham has to gather his men together, and by a strong hand, he goes and defeats them and brings Lot back. The story of Lot kind of goes like this. Lot starts to plant his tents out in the grass. And eventually the Bible says he turns his tents towards Sodom. Next thing we know, Abraham is still in the mountains and living. But Lot now is living in Sodom. He's living in Gomorrah. He's living in the city. Because if you're a person that keeps seeing See, you're living out there in that tent. That sounded good at first, but now all of a sudden, you know, they have a lot more activities going on for kids in the town, and they have a lot more stuff going on. So why are we living out here? We need to move and buy a house in town. And so he does. His eyes. What he can see keeps getting him into problems. I told you Lot's not a bad person. Go with me in your Bibles to 2 Peter, and I'll show you a scripture. I get picked up because my last name is Lot. And they said, are you like Lot? In some ways, I hope I am. Because I want to show you what 2 Peter says about him. 2 Peter 2 and 8. For that righteous man, look at the person beside you and say, Lot was a righteous man. Lot was not a bad person. I don't want you to look at Lot and think, well, he was some sinner. No, he was a righteous man. He was a good man. It never said that Lot did anything wrong. He never did anything wrong. He never tried to cheat anybody. He never tried to do anything. The problem was he just kept seeing things, and when he saw something that looked good, he just immediately made a decision. It must be. I need it. I have to have it. I can't live without it. And in life, if you live your life that way, the enemy will always provide something that looks good, but is meant to hurt you. An old pastor told it to me this way. He said, Tim, when the devil wants to stop you, he'll send people into your life. And he says, when God wants to bless you, he's going to send people into your life. He said, Tim, the sign of wisdom is to know how to pick the right people. So you can be in this room and think, I'm all alone. How can you be alone in this room? You can sit by anybody. And if you find out a few of them don't like you, you'd find out real quick, well, that one doesn't like me because they told me not to sit by them. But I bet there's a bunch of people in here you could go and sit by and say, hey, my name is so-and-so, and hey, it's nice to meet you. So why am I alone? Because some of us don't want to make a decision. Lot's problem was he made it too quickly. And here's what it says. For the righteous man dwelleth among them, and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. This is what happened. What happened to Lot was just the fact that he was a good man. But now he's done got moved into town. He's living in town. Everything seems to be going horribly because, man, Sodom and Gomorrah is a bad place. In fact, historians would describe Sodom and Gomorrah this way, that it got so bad in Sodom and Gomorrah with homosexuality and lesbianism and everything else, that just all kind of debauchery, anything you could imagine. We're not just talking about those issues, but I'm talking about anything that could be anything sexual, anything bad. They were into it. They were willing to try it. In fact, here's how bad it got in Sodom and Gomorrah. Historians said that there were beds set up in town. Not in different towns and parts, but out in the streets. Beds were set up in the streets so that if a visitor came to Sodom and Gomorrah from another place, immediately they would try to coax them into bed right there in the middle of the street. In fact, it makes sense because what happened when God says, I'm fixing to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? It's done got too bad. It's done got too... The Bible says two angels came in the form of men. And what had happened? As soon as Lot saw them, he said, look, you need to get inside. You need to hurry up and get inside. And when they come inside, the Bible says the men of the city came and started beating the doors and said, who are these new men in town? Send them out to us that we may know them. That's how bad that city had gotten. We think to ourselves, well, all I want to do is just let me tell you something. If I can say anything to this world, let me say this. It won't end with just gay marriage. It won't end with just having same health insurance. Or you don't understand. It's got nothing to do with that. The Bible says the heart of man is never satisfied. Therefore, hell is enlarged daily. When you decide to go away that God says don't go, it has nothing to do with him trying to be mean to you or hold you out on you. He's trying to prevent you from opening a door that is very, very hard to close. Listen to your pastor. I'm telling you, I'm not anti or mean about anything. I'm just telling you, if God says don't do that, don't steal, don't kill, don't do this, don't do that, it's because He says, look, there's a door that if you open it, it's bad. It's going to hurt you. And notice Sodom and Gomorrah kept opening the door. It had gotten so bad that God Himself says, I gotta wipe this place out. The angels had to blind the men outside to prevent them from beating down the door. But Lot had done trained so many people around him. Lot's life had done shown to so many people how to live that it affected now everybody in his life. I'll show you. Go with me to chapter 19, verse 14. He has son-in-laws or men that are supposed to marry his daughters, and they're part of his family. Notice what happened. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that did what? That mocked unto his son-in-laws. In other words, they laughed at him. Why? Because we don't see any God. We don't see any problems. Lot, we've lived our whole lives. You're our father-in-law. You know you live the way we do. We do things by sight. I don't see any problems. I don't see any God. I don't see any situation. There's no reason for us to change, Lot. Parents, let me tell you something. If you live your life showing your kids that it's what you see, then don't be surprised if they grow up to be the same way. If you train yourself, don't be surprised that if your friends and your family and others around you don't take on the same attitude. You can be a good person, a righteous person, but have a flaw in you and a flaw that says, you know what, I like to see, I do things by what I can see, and I never go out too far on a limb and I never make too big a risk. If I can't see it, I don't believe it. I'm so blessed to have the board that I have here at All Seasons. Because you know how many times I walk into there and I'm like, guys, let's do this. And I know you can't see it. And on paper you're thinking, that's crazy. But most of the walk with God is in areas I can't see. And most of my walk with God, I have to trust Him in places I can't see. Lot's son-in-law says, look, we hadn't been living this way, Lot, so don't be coming with all this God's going to destroy the world thing. For some people, imagine how hard that would be. You've been living your life trying to bigger houses, boats, cars, the nicest stuff, and then you go to your family and say, now, y'all, don't get caught up in too much of this stuff now because, you know, the rapture's going to take place and God's coming back. Yeah, right. We can see how you've been living for the end. That's the way Lot's son-in-law saw it. The angels did not lie. In fact, fire and brimstone starts coming down. The angels tell Lot, get your family, which is his wife and his two daughters. And he says, get out of here. They start heading out. They start getting away as fast as they can. But understand now, he's done trained his family to do what? To live by sight. Go into the next scripture. To verse 26. But his wife did what? What has Lot trained his whole family to do? If you can't see it, don't. If you can't see it, don't believe it. So as they're heading out of town, and Lot's telling them, don't look back. Keep going forward. You don't want to see what's going on down there. And his wife is thinking, we've always lived our lives. If you don't see it, I mean, there may not be anything going on back there, Lot. And his wife follows the family way. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. That translation is kind of murky. It's not so much that she just turned into salt. Could be, but it could be that just salt pelted her and covered her. Either way, she died. immediately. All because she had to do what? I got to see it. I can't believe it if I can't see it. If I can't see it, I can't believe it. It goes even further. All the way even to verse 32. He's only got two more people left in his life that he's raised. They're his daughters. Notice what it says. See, they go and they hide in a cave, him and his two daughters, and they're trying to figure out, what are we going to do now? Where are we going to go now? And here's what his daughters decide. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may do what? Preserve seed of our father. Here was their plan. Let's take the wine we've got, and let's get our father drunk, and let's sleep with him. And at least we can carry on the bloodline, because we don't see right now in this cave any way that life is going to get better. In fact, we don't see any way to fix the problem other than what we're doing. We're going to make our decisions based on what we can. In fact, if you think real carefully, you know a lot of people in your life. They're not bad people. Their biggest problem is they make so many decisions based off what they can see. And if you try to tell them, look, you need to stop doing that. You need to get a job. I don't, because they can't see it. What they see seems so much easier and so much. And his two daughters that night, the first night, got him drunk. One slept with him. Now, have you ever heard this word, the Moabites? You will. Throughout all the Old Testament, you hear about the Moabites, the fights and the wars. That is Lot's oldest daughter's line. How about this group? The Ammonites. You'll hear that name throughout the Old Testament too. That was when they got him drunk the second time and the younger daughter slept with him. The Moabites and the Ammonites both came. Their bloodline created all what would be future wars with Israel and problems. All because his two daughters were living by the way their father taught them to live. If you can't see it, don't believe it. All right. Nikki, come up here and help me. We got to do something with these nails, right? All these people stood up now. They said, I couldn't fix some of this. What do you think? Did you stand up?
Yes, sir.
You stood up and said, I couldn't do this.
Mm-hmm.
Nikki, I mean, I'm counting on you. Hold this nail right there.
Okay.
Hold it now. Hold it out. Oh, hold it up. There you go. Just like that. Hold it real hard.
Okay.
Hold it steady. Hold it level. Got to hold it level. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
Don't let it fall. Hold it up. Strong. Strong. Oh, you got to hold it strong. You ready? All right. We're going to do it. You got this. Because I said, you know, this couldn't be done. A bunch of people stood up and said, you can't balance all those nails on one nail. Oh. You got it. Let's set it down. We got to get it right. You're going to hold it steady. Hold it right there. Hold it. Don't let it move. Nikki's nervous. You nervous?
A little bit.
A little bit? Yep. All right, we're going to try one more time. But you're not nervous anymore. We're going to do this, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to try. N- Nikki, all them people stood up and said we couldn't do this. I balanced all those nails on one nail. Do you know why you told me I couldn't do it? Now, anybody that believes I can balance all those nails on one nail, stand up. Come on now. Anybody believes I can balance all them nails on one nail, stand up. If you're not standing now, you're something mentally wrong with you. Everybody can stand now. Guys, how many times with God do we do the same thing? How many of us in this room right now are making decisions off of what we can see and not what off God told us? How many of us are dating people that probably we think, I don't need to be dating that person. They're not a good person. But I don't want to be alone, and I'm afraid if I don't date them, I ain't got nobody going. How many of us live our lives every day? And because we can't see how it's going to happen, we make decisions. Not only would you not be a good poker player, but you're not going to be very good at following God. The one quality Abraham had that Lot did not have was that Abraham could look at land and say, you can take the good or the bad, it doesn't matter. I trust God. Paul would later say in the New Testament, whether I have much or I have nothing, I have learned to be content. Why? Because my God shall supply all my needs by His riches and glory. I don't know what issue in your life right now seems to be something, Lord, I just don't see it. I know what the Bible says, I know, but I just don't see it. I don't see how praying is going to fix this problem. I don't see how me just doing right is going to make everything else around me straighten up. I don't either. I just know that if you do it, it releases God. And there's nothing too hard for God. I don't know how, and I don't know the way. I just know He will. Because He promised. If you're in this place right now, and there's something that you say, Brother Lott, that's been me. I have lived off what I can see, and because I can't see it, I spend more time complaining. I spend more time worrying. I spend more time thinking what bad can happen. Why don't you decide that even if you can't see it? The old song says this way. It says, even when I can't see His hand, I trust His heart. If you're here right now, you're listening to me, we're going to bow our heads and we're going to pray. You say, Brother Lott, do I need to come to an altar? No, I think right now it's pretty clear to you. But I think you need to make a decision in your life. Because you can get away with not believing that I can balance some nails. That's not going to change your life. But if you miss something that God says, look, I want to do this, and you miss that could change everything about your life. You could miss out on some of the greatest things that God had in store for you. All because you couldn't see it. Don't do it. Ready? Father, in my life, I've missed out on things. I know that. But it wasn't because of you. It was because I couldn't see how you were going to do it. I couldn't see how you would fix it or make it work. So I listened to someone else, or I chose a different direction, or I tried to fix it myself. God, I'm sorry for those times. It wasn't you, it was just me. Father, I ask you to forgive me. And I pray that I can live my rest of my life not like Lot. He was a good man. He was a righteous man. But he kept living from one mistake to the other because he kept making every decision by what he could see. Help me. Help me live my life not by my sight, not my physical sight. But help me live by my spiritual sight. If there's someone in this room, Lord, that has done like me, that has maybe made decisions or went directions just because it seemed good, it seemed like what everybody else was doing, it seemed like it felt good at the moment, but I knew it wasn't right. Lord, arrest them. That little illustration I used this morning be just a small reminder that you don't know everything. You don't know everything. And I'm doing things that will blow your mind if you'll let me. If you'll let me. Father, I pray you will let them. I pray when we leave here today that we align ourselves in spirit and truth. Not by just what we can physically see, but what you've written and what you've said in promises. Father, let us stand and let us live. Not by bread alone, but as Jesus said, let us live by every word that comes through the mouth of God. Let it be my food. Let it be my strength. Let it be my guide. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Hey, next week, might learn something else. Bring a friend.